Real quick before Mike comes, I've been tasked to kind of handle how we do the word of the year presentations each week. And before we really get into deciding how we're going to go forward with presenting each person's word for each week, I kind of wanted to touch base on kind of like next steps once you have your word. So most of us here have a word. And if you don't, that's okay. We can still, it can still happen. We'll help you with it. But for those of us that do have a word, I kind of want to talk a little bit about Abraham. So Abraham was given a word by God. He was told that he was going to be the father of nations. Now, when Abraham received that word, it was just that word. There was no other part of it. So it was Abraham's job to figure out the next steps. He didn't have the whole picture. He had to work through it. He had to think about it. He had to pray about it. So as you are thinking about your word and praying about your word, just remember that. It's okay that you don't have the whole picture. We have the whole year to figure it out. So as we go forward, each week we're going to pick a few words that we're going to display on the screen, and we're either going to pray over them, talk about them, give updates. So just be ready as we go forward for this year each week, and we'll get with you and tag you on it.
All right, so today I'm going to be talking a little bit about counting the cost, sacrifice, obedience, kind of wrapped up into one. I'm going to be starting with Luke 14:25-33, and talking about counting the cost, then going on to sacrifice, and then hopefully tying the bottom half to the later half. If you could bring up Luke 14:25. Anybody want to read that section? The end of that passage is a pretty interesting and hard passage to think about. It's, you know, so likewise whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. And this whole piece of sacrifice is kind of getting to that point of an understanding of what we have, what we do with it, how we react. And so as we're coming into this area where we're all talking about God has given each one of us a vision. And we want to fulfill that vision that he has given us for our lives so that we, not only our lives are impacted, but so the lives around us are impacted as well. And to step into that fullness takes a big sacrifice, because it's stepping out of the realm of we've been learning, and all of a sudden we're putting into practice. There's a lot that goes into that. It's the step into that next level with God. And for that, there's a big cost and a big area that we each have to look at as we're stepping into this. Are we willing as a people to step into that realm and willing to forsake everything for his calling on our lives, and willing to step out in faith? You know, are we willing to have those hard words with family members? Are we willing to have those hard words with friends? Are we willing to give up and leave hobbies for a time being? Are we willing to, you know, and there's this level of what do I sacrifice? How do I sacrifice? What do I give up? And in turn, that really comes down to listening and being obedient. So that's where we're going to get into the next section before we come back to this. The section in 1 Samuel 13:8-14. So this is a section where Saul, there's kind of a battle going on. Saul is waiting for Samuel. He's sitting there waiting for him. And as he's sitting there waiting for him to come, he's waiting. He's got troops leaving. Saul's kind of afraid of what's going on. And then next thing you know, Saul just says, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to sacrifice this animal. I'm going to do this because I got people that are leaving and I can't wait any longer. So instead of waiting and doing things according to God's will, he goes ahead and sacrifices that animal. As soon as he sacrifices that burnt offering, Samuel comes into the picture and says, what have you done? And it's kind of interesting because he said, if you did not do this, if you obeyed the Lord, it goes on to say that if you obeyed the Lord, now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out for himself another man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be a commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. His area of life, because he did not wait and he made his sacrifice without God's willing, without God's pleasing, he lost everything that he had. What he needed to do was really sacrifice and hand over that piece of fear to the Lord. Instead, he wanted to hold on his fear and let his fear control him in this situation. It's just as some of us let our fears and anxieties control us rather than waiting upon the Lord like he said he was going to and just listening and waiting. There's times where we jump ahead just as Saul did and we lose out on that peace that he has for us. So then if we go to the next one, which is 1 Samuel 15, 10 through 24. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me. He has not performed my commandments, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul and said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen, which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, you were not head of the tribes of Israel. And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and brought back Agag, king of the Amalekites. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I have feared the people and obeyed their voice. A lot of correlation between what we sometimes do and what Saul is doing in this case. There's that saying that we can sacrifice, but when we sacrifice, it doesn't mean that we're being obedient. Just because we're laying something down and checking a box doesn't mean we're being obedient. That can be religion or churchy. But when we are listening and obeying, there's a piece of sacrifice that goes in there. We're sacrificing that old pieces, that old self. We're saying, you know what? What God has called me to, what God has called me to do is more important than listening to these people, because he's got a bigger and greater purpose. Instead of continuing to let those around us influence our choices because we're afraid of what they might say or what they might do against us, instead saying, you know what? God is calling me to sacrifice these little pieces inside of me and obey him. I don't need to do this sacrifice over here. He hasn't called for that. And stepping in instead to that piece of wholeness in relationship with him, instead of driving a stake that's dividing us and him. It's understanding those pieces that God has called us into a greater thing, which is obedience. And that obedience piece will lead us then unto sacrifice. And that sacrifice is the giving up of our old selves and our old habits and our old, but as God has called. And not allowing the outside to influence that. That's where, say, like, one of the things Tilly and I had struggled with for a while was there was this piece that she wanted to do something, and I was like, you know what, I can't allow you to do that game because it is against our beliefs. There's spiritual connotation to that, and I don't want you to get involved, and I don't want that to be a part of the household. I chose my faith in God over that relationship at that time, because I cared more about her spiritual being than her playing that board game. I had to stand my ground with God because that was more important. And her spiritual being was more important than that relationship at the time. I was sacrificing that piece. I didn't care if she was mad at me, because having that relationship with God and standing behind what God has for us is more important. You know, and when we step into those different realms of, this is going to be a hard conversation with this person, but if it's God-directed, that's the biggest piece of this. It's the God-directed pieces. As God asks us to step into a new realm, whether it's we got somebody at work that, which is one of my struggles, how are you going to speak to that person? Are you going to allow them to get under your skin and speak inappropriate to them? Or are you going to stand your ground and say, you know what, God has something going on here. I just need to stand my ground. I need to wait. I need to wait for him, wait for his guidance on how to handle the situation and handle it according to him instead of going off on him. You know, there's these pieces of us that he's trying to rip apart. There's these pieces where we take a piece that we've read in the Bible, and God's honest about it, and he's saying, you know, you've read this. I'm trying to pick your heart to try to get you to grow closer to me, and we're unwilling to. Whether it's pornography, whether it's those pieces of drug abuse, alcohol abuse, whatever that case may be, it's God has laid a lot of that stuff out in front of us in His Word, and if we're in His Word because we want to be in relationship with Him, then we're dropping those pieces off slowly but surely because it's that obedience piece, and we've got to be in relationship with Him to understand that and to just kind of keep walking His direction. One of the interesting pieces beyond that, in chapter 16, verse 2, and Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint me for the one I name to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at this coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" So Samuel had this kind of predicament because Saul is king over the people, and now because of what Saul did, God's telling Samuel, go anoint David as king. Go here, and I'm going to show you who to anoint as king. And unlike Saul, Samuel says, "Lord, this is my fear. How do I do this?" The Lord gave him clear direction. And he didn't let his fears keep him from doing it. He had a conversation with the Lord. He let the Lord direct that. There is so much throughout Scripture. That's why it's important that we read, because God will show us stuff every single day, every single time we open His Word. He'll show us something new, a little piece to step out of our own realm and into His. And reading is one of the big sacrifices that we have to take, because there's other things that we want to do, whether it's play games on our phone or whether it's, you know, but we have to take the time to read, the time to be in His Word. The time to say, okay, Lord, this is about You. You know, I want to make You happy. I want to make You joyful. And in obedience, that's where we can get to that piece of obedience, is when we start to hear, because we actually care more about Him than all the other stuff. And we start allowing Him to help us with those moves. He didn't intend us to have to try to do this on our own. He didn't end up having to intend, and for us to intend to walk this out by ourselves. He says, if you give your time to Me, I will help you every step of the way. But you have to give your time to Me. You give your time, I'll help you grow. You give Me your ear, you speak to Me, you spend time in My Word, I will help move you along. As long as you listen and obey, I am going to move you along to that next step, and next step, and next step, and grow deeper in Him. And then as we continue to do that, those things that drop off, it's not like we're not having fun, because the joy that God brings us from that fellowship with Him is greater than anything that our past can ever afford us, that can ever give us. And it's understanding that it's okay. It's okay to step into something new, because God's replacing it every day with something new. So the biggest things that I looked at this was obedience leads to a better kind of sacrifice. But sacrifice does not lead to obedience. And two was, if you want to chase the vision God has given you, count the cost. Understand that there's things that God's going to ask of you, and you don't have to be afraid to step that direction, because He's going to replace those things with even greater, with even better. And life might get harder, but it's also going to be easier because we know the voice that we're listening to is not going to lead us astray. And I think I'm just going to kind of leave it short, leave it at that. I'm just going to leave it short. What? Oh, the obedience piece? Oh, yeah. Obedience leads to a better kind of sacrifice. Because we can choose to give up stuff on our own. And if we choose to give up stuff on our own, it might lead to a misdirection from God. Like, say if I were to say, okay, I need to spend more time with God, so I instantly, okay, I go through that and I give up all my fish and stuff, I get rid of it all, I sell it all, okay? Then I don't have that to do what God has called me to do if he calls me to go out and take somebody out fishing because that's the way to connect with that person. If I hold on to that because God hasn't told me to get rid of it, he just told me to back off from it, now I have that when he calls me to it the next time. That's the difference in sacrificing prematurely or waiting for God's direction. Because if we just say, okay, God, I want to grow closer to you. In order to grow closer to you, in my head, I'm saying, I need to do this, this, and this, and this. Then we might miss a big piece and get rid of a big piece before it's time. And if we do that, we won't have the tools that we need to reach the person God has put in front of us. So we've got to be really careful with that. That's where the obedience leading to sacrifice instead of sacrifice leading to obedience. Because if we just give up on stuff before it's time and God's time, we're going to miss out on something. And we're not going to get to that place that God has called us to. So we have to be really clear on what God is calling us to give up and what he's not calling us to give up. And we got to be obedient when he says so. We got to be saying, okay, Lord, your plans are better than mine. Your ways are better than mine. You have something in store that I haven't seen, that I haven't understood yet, but you're going to show me. I'm going to start walking that direction. Does anybody have any other questions? Okay, I will end it at that.
As we move into 23, I should have probably prefaced this for you, but Mike had come up to me a couple weeks ago and he says, we really need to think about sacrifices related to, you know, this vision that God is trying to play out in each of us individually. And I said, you know, tell me more. And we talked for a couple minutes and I said, Tag, you're it. You know, if you feel burdened that this is what God has put on your heart, then you need to share it. I'm going to say this. I told him the same thing. Sacrifice indeed is part of the process because whenever you take on something new, something else has to go away. You know, you don't pick up a new hobby that you're going to spend 10 hours a week doing when you already have a full life. If you have a full life and you take up something new, something has to go away because that's just it. And this is one of the problems we have when I talk to people who, you know, they want to go back to school or they want to get in college and they want to do this and that. And it's like, great, go ahead, but what are you going to give up? Because we're already all busy. And if you're going to take on something else, then something has to give. And this is a concept that, as a church, we're going to be playing with all year. Because as you move toward whatever the word of the Lord is for you individually, and he begins to reveal the bigger parts and how it applies and what he wants to come out of that, there is going to be an expected application of time, talents, resources. And it doesn't happen if you just try to squeeze it in. at some level, we have to prioritize those things that God is speaking into us so we can then begin to experience the fullness of what he wants to come out of that. And it's going to take some time, and we're not going to get this done in a week. But as we grow into this process, I'm hoping that we're going to develop a lifestyle, you know, as a church and as a body of believers, that as God is whispering these bigger things into us and we learn the process of working them out and achieving and becoming, it becomes a lifestyle. And we'll get into more of that as the year progresses. Thank you for coming this morning. I want you to, she's whispering next week. Oh, yes. Yes, ma'am. Hold it, just a minute. Everybody can't hear you. Yeah, I know. But we want to record it, though, so they can hear it.
I always feel like I'm so loud. The word busy just resonates with me because we're all so busy. And for me, I'm like, I know that if Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. So how do we navigate through the busy and get to that place of, oh, it's calm. I have time for friends. I have time for these other things in a society that has us racing fast forward constantly. Everything is in our face. Ads constantly moving. The world is constantly moving. And I've been struggling with this lately. How do you make sense in a world that doesn't make sense? The busy. How do you navigate through that?
That's a big subject. I'll touch it just quickly. Part of what Mike said this morning is, you know, this constant understanding of God speaking in our ear, the priorities that we need to attend to and put our time to. And there's an old phrase a pastor friend of mine used to say all the time is, so-and-so's problem isn't my emergency. I mean, we have to learn whose problems to pick up and whose problems not to pick up. Because there are some times where we take on ourselves their issues, and then our time is consumed. So there's a process to this, and we'll talk some more, definitely. Now you want the mic?
I do.
Okay, you can close it out.
Okay,
finish this up.
Wasn't going to close this out, but okay, I will. One of the things that really is going to come into all of this as we walk through this year. And I've asked Apostle if sometime in the next few weeks if he would preach on this verse. And it's another one I've been chewing on. It comes out of Psalms 103. And it literally says that Moses understood God's ways. The people of Israel only understood his acts. We have to understand God's ways if we're going to stay out of a place where we're busy, but we're busy because we're doing what he's put on our list to do, not things that we're putting on our list to do. And it comes down to understanding who he is and building that relationship. And as we do, it changes our priority list. And when we focus on him and that relationship and understanding his ways, it helps us to start sorting out, okay, I don't need to deal with this. This isn't on his agenda for me. It is over here. So that is coming in the next couple weeks. I don't know when he's going to do it, but in the next few weeks. It's Psalms 103, verse 7, so you can kind of be chewing on that one. Next week, we're going to, and you're going to have to think back. I'll be quick, but I want you to think back in 2020, in October, end of September, October, somewhere around in there. We did, as a church, we looked at God, God's attribute as being a judge. And we laid out a legal document of some things that we needed him to answer for us. Do you remember this? Most of us remember this. So at that point in time, we said, or we believed that God was telling us that we would see the full answer to that in about 3 years. Well, we're going into our third year. So we're going to reread that document next week, okay? Pastor Tracy will have that ready for us. We're going to reread that document. We're going to remind ourselves of what was in that, what we were asking God to do. If we believe he speaks to us, which we do, and we believe that his words are true, which we do, then when he said we'll start to see the fullness of that in year three, that's 23. We've already seen some of that starting to come about. We had that grant from the county. We're going to go, we've had blessed, like job blessings. We've had all kinds of stuff going on. So we're starting to see that. So we're going to review that next week. We're also, I think, important to do with that, in correlation with that, and kind of coming into what some churches would say the Lenten season. Preparing for Easter and understanding the resurrection and reflecting on that. We're going to also do communion next week. So come prepare. I don't know what words Adam's going to pick out from our list, but if you are still struggling to get a word or haven't got a word, talk to Apostle. We will pray with you. We'll help you. We'll work on it. It's important that we had some more come in this week. So not everyone has them yet, but they're still in processes. They're still coming in. God's going to use this. He's going to move you. He's going to do some incredible things. And we're going to start, as Adam had also said, we're going to start walking through this step by step. So have a good week. See what God has for you. Recognize where he's working in your life this week. Expect hope. Hope for those good things coming. And remember that verse and that one in Micah. And when we hope, it's because we know that he hears us. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for being a God who expects us to have relationship with you, that we speak and you speak and we hear each other, and you lead and guide and pour out a plan, and you provide and you make a way, and you know, as Mike shared, Father, that obedience is your heart, and yes, it comes with sacrifice. But it starts with that the importance of obedience, and not just because we're following to follow, but we're following and being obedient because we love you and we want you to be proud of us, and we want you to be able to look at us and say, well done. We thank you, Lord. Just bless each one that's here and pour out what they need this week. We love you. We thank you. Everybody.